This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, Julian Schauning and Schertz with you. Do you think that e-hailing fares will go up as a result of the PSV regulations and requirements? Yes, don't know, don't care. Head on to our Twitter at BFM Radio and tell us your answer. Moving on to news, according to Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, the government will consolidate Felda settlers' land and vary the crops planted to boost the group's income. The Prime Minister said that the old practice of allocating 4 hectares of plot to grow all palm and rubber is no longer viable.
Yeah, this is because commodities' fluctuating price have hurt smallholders' earning and it's not efficient. He's looking at about 400, 800 acres once estate are being merged. Now, Dr. Mahathir said that the decision to consolidate settlers' land and to be run by mainly professional, which is based on the observation that large foreign-owned estates continue to make profit. And this is despite falling palm oil prices and rubber prices because of their scale as well as their diversity in crops.
The Prime Minister also called out misappropriation by the previous Felda management as part of the reason that has compounded settlers' income woes, and because that the government had to hand out subsidies. This is part of the 6 billion injection by the government. Now, recall that Felda in 2017 had record high losses of over 4 billion and liabilities of 14 billion ringgit due to mismanagement.
And we have Koyu Ling on the line. She's an analyst with Sergi Anum Advisors, and she's also a palm oil expert. Yuling, good morning, and thanks for joining us. What are your thoughts on Dr. Mahathir's proposal that these 4 hectares of plot should end for the Felda smallholders?
This is quite an interesting suggestion and actually not that new. In terms of consolidation, they're really looking at the schemes being consolidated. But I think if you look at it from a farmer basis, it's still pretty much the same land. So what you're doing is swapping your land in terms of area for, I guess, equity, some sort of a share in what the earning is. But what is different is that they're proposing that about 10% of the land area gets taken away from oil palm or rubber, which is a lower a yielding income into something that is a lot more higher. So that's what new. But in terms of a collective ownership concept, this was actually proposed about 3 decades ago, but really abandoned because there was a political fight with Semangat 46 in those days. But it does remain to be answered how 10% allocated to other crops, what kind of crops. I mean, things have been mentioned. And whether this would appreciably increase farmer income after collective ownership share, and whether this could increase incomes by 20, 40, 60%. I think this would be what Felda settlers would be asking.
So you mentioned about the settlers will share their profit, you know, from a larger estate. Now, what do you foresee will be some of the practical challenges?
So it's about convincing the settlers to do this in the first place. They would want to know exactly this 10% reallocation because ultimately they still have the same equivalent of 4 hectares, right? It's not like they have an equivalent 4 hectares gone to 6 hectares. There's no new land involved. So it's a switching of part of the existing land into a new crop. I mean, this is an advancement really from the Felda white paper where the idea was then that Felda would lease the land from them. So now it looks as though they're changing from the leasing model, which, of course, was a bit problematic for FGV, where they leased the land from Felda. So that idea of leasing land from smallholders has switched to this, which is a land for share swap. And really, it has to be convincing to them that they're going to have an income boost from this. Because in terms of management per se, actually, the Felda scheme management is under has been under a professional management since the beginning, and in fact it contrasts quite positively in terms of yield versus the Felda Global Ventures portion, which is the commercial estates, and that's because I think they've had a better replanting record, so the trees are not so old, and in general the management has been, I think, keenly eyed by the smallholders. So I think we should consider that these smallholders are quite a savvy lot. And of course, it's not just the smallholders, it's the next generation.
And Yu Ling, do you think this will address Felda's main issues?
Well, there's the management issue where the investments were of concern. So I think that's one large area of concern at the sort of managerial level. And then I think one should separate out the management of the schemes per se, which has been less problematic over the years. Although, of course, I think it's not just the Felda professional management of the schemes, which is already in place. But, you know, it's also an issue across the private sector of Malaysia, which is really lacking of labour and which has resulted in sub-earnings from palm oil and rubber because they haven't been able to produce enough of the product on the existing area. And, of course, ultimately, it's the price problem of the commodities all kind of drifting down over the last two political cycles in synchronous way. So it's really whether shifting to fruits and vegetables, which then require even more labour. They're talking about interplanting. And so it's about the actual estate management. Do the estate managers really go out there and do their things? And do they have enough labour to help them? So it's back to really fundamental questions, which of course permeates into the private sector as well.
Yu Ling, I understand where you're coming from when you say better estate management, but aren't all these subject to the vagaries of the commodity markets? Even if you go into some fast-moving crops or livestock, it will still be subject to market conditions. And I'm wondering whether, you know, the appointment of Tan Sri Muhammad Bakir Saleh, who was previously from Sime Darby Plantation, whether that would give insights into better management.
Yes, I mean, Tan Sri Baki is really quite a well-respected corporate leader. And I think he's had experience in Sime Darby and in Felda before. And of course, I think he would be remembered for the kind of stance he took at 1MDB with exiting the board not less than twice. But I think going into whether it's planting mangoes and fruits and adding livestock to try to boost income. This is something that I believe Tan Sri Baki and, in fact, the Felda management would be looking at this very carefully together with the Ministry of Agriculture because I think they would be trying to calibrate do mangoes work in which states or which particular part of which states and taking the product to market domestically as well as internationally. But, you know, this idea of plantations boosting their incomes and going into market gardening, it's not exactly a new idea. It just takes quite a new set of management to implement this. I think this has always been clear from plantation people that they're not really into managing livestock. This idea of adding livestock is also something that's in the Indonesia policy, by the way, where they suggest mixing oil palm with cattle grazing. And some smallholders who are quite entrepreneurial do this very effectively. It's really getting in an additional management, I think, to achieve this. So it will be very interesting to watch the corporate captains do this. And I do mention that there was a notion a while back, I think, when oil palm prices were low, and this is, you know, a couple of decades ago. And, we had, I understand from the old-timers that there were protests from people who were in the fruit and veg industry because they were very worried about the plantation sector suddenly flooding the market with this produce because this would change the supply dynamics within the country.
Thank you very much, Yu Ling. Fascinating stuff. And that was Kor Yu Ling, analyst with Sergi Enam Advisors and palm oil expert, talking about Felda's intention to diversify into fast-moving crops as well as livestock to increase the yields of the farmers. Now, moving on, the Ministry of Education has rejected claims by YTL Communications that the ministry has breached contractual obligations.
Yeah, so last week, YTL Communications had come out to accuse accuse the Ministry of Education of breaching their contract regarding the supply of internet connectivity to about 10,000 schools nationwide. And for a 6 months interim period after YTL contract ended June 30th. And YTL Communication, which is a 60% owned unit of YTL Power, says it was taken back by surprise, by complete surprise, when it was left out of the MOE's award for interim services.
Now, Datuk Muhammad Ghazali Abbas, Secretary General of the Education Ministry, he came out to say that the government did receive a letter from YTL offering free internet services for 6 months. However, it decided not to award the tender to YTL because of hidden costs. The ministry went on to say that YTL had stipulated in their free offer that they would want free electricity and rental of telecommunication tower. As such, the ministry did the math and it figured out that it could actually end up with a potential loss of rental revenue of over 32 million ringgit from the tower in 6 months. Meanwhile, he also said that YTL Communications had never paid the electricity charges for the telco tower that it installed at the schools and at the government premises.
So instead, it awarded the six-month contract to Telekom Malaysia and Celcom, Axiata and Maxis. I guess I like it that government officials do the maths.
Yes.
That's something that you have to do, right?
I mean, just looking at this about how a seven-year-old project, the One Bistrian Net was, about eight-year-old project was awarded back in 2011 after an open tender for a 15-year service contract. And YTL Communications said they've invested about 4 billion ringgit in building infrastructure in school of for the project. And YTL was awarded to commence phase one and phase two of the Bistrian Net. But July last year, though, the ministry announced that it would call for a fresh tender for internet service to the 10,000 schools nationwide as a result because people weren't happy with the service provided by YTL.com.
Yeah, in 2016, the Auditor General highlighted that YTL failed to deliver internet connection to more than 4,000 schools, with delays ranging from 12 to 439 days. Now, at that time also, in July last year, our Deputy Education Minister, Teo Nee Ching, said that the ministry will be choosing the best proposal for market players, which gives the best pricing and internet speed.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.